This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Michael Young. Yeah, good friends. Morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Now, you didn't get up to shake his hand or anything.
We were
there.
In the middle of something.
We got to be professional. Lineup. Yeah.
I gave him a neck rub.
Yeah.
Do you think it didn't look sweet. Like he appreciated that.
It was spicy.
My skin silky smooth.
Oh my gosh.
So we just got the news, as some of us kind of thought might be the case, Corey Seager's going to DH today. And we were talking with Chris Young. He didn't seem to have long-term concerns, but from a fan perspective, you get it. Like, you kind of hold your breath for players like that when you hear there's anything wrong with them.
Yeah, I think that if there's ever a time in the season where a team's going to be super cautious, it's going to be right now. Obviously, Corey's incredibly important to our team. So
right.
Just to ensure that he's going to be healthy for the whole season, or at least out of the stretch, to make sure we get out of the gate hot, it's important.
How do you separate those things of, hey, I know it's opening day. Everybody's here. Everybody's pumped. You don't get triple wins.
Right.
You know, like, it's still one, and you get another one next day. Like, how can you separate the pomp and circumstance from, let's still be smart with this?
Yeah, I think you have to remind yourself of it. But it's hard, because you do want to go out and play well. The flags are up. I mean, everyone knows the importance of opening day. It's going to be a packed house. We're playing a good team. You know, we want to make sure that our best players are able to go out there and perform and give the fans what they want.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's always eyes on the prize and making sure that we're healthy and giving ourselves the best chance to win for the whole season.
Is tomorrow kind of exhausting? After opening day and all the things that are going on, is tomorrow kind of a letdown, or what is the next day like?
Yeah, I like the next day just because it gets bent down to baseball. You know, all the other stuff and is done, and you kind of just get to it now. I wasn't a very good opening day player. I kind of like day two a little bit better, personally, just to kind of get down to it and build all the way through the season now.
So with opening day, everybody's curious. You know, we talk about our stories of what it felt like when we first got out there and everything. You obviously had a long career, too. What was opening day like for you every single year?
I love opening day. I think I'm sure you felt the same way. I mean, for all the reasons you guys just said, all the fans pouring in. We've been, at this point, you've been in Arizona for a long time. You're playing probably about halfway through camp, at least from a position player standpoint. You're like, all right, the rest is for the pitching, just to get them ready, just to make sure they have enough buildup to go ahead and go. The position players, you're kind of ready, and you're just hoping to kind of just, they throw you in a freezer so you don't get hurt, and you're ready for opening day. But this is a reminder when you get into a stadium, especially like this one, that, all right, this is now for real. This is what we really, really love to do. And it's a kickoff to all of your, you know, hard work over an offseason.
So when you were listening to baseball back in, you know, the old days on the radio, who was your favorite player?
Hey, you can still listen to baseball on the
right
radio,
here on the
you
fan.
Jerk.
But he didn't have TV back then.
Oh, my gosh.
It was tough for me to establish my favorite player when the TVs are black and white. It's super tough to kind of like figure out which one you kind of gravitated towards. So, but the Babe, the Ruth guy in New York, he was a pleasure.
Baby Ruth.
I loved watching him. Yeah,
Baby Ruth.
What was it like competing
man.
With him?
You compete with him on the streets because that dude hit the streets at nighttime. That's where you really did your work with him.
And nobody was beating him there.
No one was beating
right?
him there,
that's
yeah.
From
yeah,
everything
playing for
I
second.
Understand, yeah.
You're playing for second.
Do you, okay, you said maybe you were not the best opening day player. Do you remember your first ever opening day? And let's see if you tell the truth about it.
My first opening day in the big leagues was in 2002.
Against?
Against the A's.
That is correct.
Yeah.
How did you do?
I don't think I got any hits. I would say 0 for 2 or 0 for 3?
Oh, I got 0 for 3 on Baseball Reference with 2 strikeouts.
Wow, Kevin.
Yeah,
does that feel accurate?
Yeah, it felt accurate. In 2002, that was accurate for more than opening day. It was accurate the whole stretch.
Oh,
dude.
My gosh.
I just wanted to see if he was going to be honest, because like whenever he would ask Bassick, he was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I went against him 8 times and got 3 strikeouts. And like he
and
knew every.
And 5 homers.
Yes, exactly. probably fair. One of the things I was curious about is, how aware is the offense about the potential pitching deficiencies, or not just for this Rangers team, I just mean in general, like each season, or how aware do you think the pitching staff is of like, hey, maybe our offense is not the best and vice versa each season?
Yeah, I think from an offensive standpoint, it's something that you're going to be better off if you just put it aside.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of times, like, I mean, Derek will tell you, too, there's usually a guy in a staff who, for whatever reason, during the season, he's like the guy who gets bad luck. And he's the guy that we don't score for. And as an offense, you feel it. And you want to pick that guy up, and you end up just – you're aware of it during his starts, and you feel terrible about it. I remember when I was in Philly, I literally went to Cole Hamels after a game, like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, he is shoving every night, and he hadn't had a win in a month. You know, we just didn't hit for him, and it started to become a thing.
Do the pitchers come into the clubhouse and they're like, hey, thanks a lot, dip asses.
Yeah, probably. I think they, especially the guys that have been around a while, I think they feel it too. They feel that we're pressing a little bit. And eventually, it does turn. But I think, to answer your question, I think the offense is just better off just saying, all right, we're going to really focus on our jobs. Everything gets ironed out over the course of the season. You get healthier, you get better, and you hope that when the season kind of gets to the August, September stretch, that you're ready to make your move.
Do you have an expectation for Wyatt Langford? Like, do you have a – Mike last year was giving us MVP, and we were like, oh, wow, we got this caliber player going here. And he still seems that caliber. He has that potential. What is it for him that you'd like to see him do this year?
I hate to kind of put those kind of things on anybody. He's obviously like super talented. It's one thing to when we got Wyatt last year, I think people were, you know, pleasantly surprised about the other parts of his game. Like he flies, he plays good defense. He's
for somebody who hasn't played the outfield much.
Yeah, he literally was learning the outfield on the fly. Yeah. He did really well in center when he was out there too. I think it's clearly, you know, he has power. He doesn't really chase outside the zone. He's got a ton of like really, really important skills. I think for me, it's just, you know, growth. You know, it's a boring answer, but it's year two. Just get a little better, keep getting better, and your second, third time around the league, things naturally start to really, really take a jump.
We were also walking up today. We saw kids out there throwing the baseball around. They're all having a great time. That was you, too. Like, you grew up, you probably were throwing the baseball around, having a good time, wanting to be that at some point. Did you take that little kid, that little Michael Young out there on the field with you all the time? Did you always feel like, oh man, I'm lucky to get to do this?
That's a good point. Yeah, I think I had to remind myself to do it because I kept kind of trying to say, all right, just stay focused, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Focus on my job here. Like, but there are times you have to remind yourself to really like enjoy it and understand like this is something that I wanted to do when I was a little kid, and here we are. So it is important, I think, to remind yourself to really, really enjoy these things because they don't last forever. And, you know, when you retire, you look back at your career and it seems like it was super fast. So I think it's important for these guys to remind themselves that this is as good as it gets and to really, really enjoy it.
I don't know how much you were there in spring training, but how many times did you get to interact with the rookies, the younger guys? Did they ever come up to you? Like, obviously, you know, Ranger Hall of Famer, you had a great career. Did they come and pick your brain at all?
You know, yes and no. I mean, I think right now they have so much like really, really good instruction. I think you know, there's this coaching staffs have doubled since I played. You know, they have so many good people to go to. They have teammates they can go to. Corey and Marcus are as good as it gets. But yeah, I have like, you know, relationships with all of them, and it's more like I hate to kind of be the guy that's constantly like, you know, picking their brains, and I just want to make sure that they know that I'm available if they ever want to chat. So a lot of times it's just, you know, the basic questions though about baseball are always going to be the same. You know, what'd you do when you hit a tough stretch? You know, what were some of the things that you tried to focus on when you were there? I think those like stay no matter the era, those stay pretty consistent.
Yeah, but with that being said though too, like you look at when we were younger too, we would go and talk to the veterans when they come in. You know, you see Nolan, it was like, okay, I'm going to go pick his brain. And I feel like you're a type of guy, if they don't come to me, I'm not going to go to them.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I go to them when we first get them, right? Just to kind of let them know, hey, man, we first got him. Hey, man, like, got to know him a little bit, like, asked questions. We sat down. We had something to eat here one day. And now it's like we'll text during the season, and it's like small little back and forth. And he'll tell me what he's thinking. But, again, I don't want to be the one that's in his hip pocket. I just want to make sure that he knows I'm available, always here, and that I'm pulling for him.
Now, I'm hoping this question goes my direction because everyone gets mad at me for saying this. Is today a must-win game?
Yes, it is. 162-0.
No, it's not! No,
you can't go 162-0 without winning the first
You're never
one,
Kevin. Going 162-0.
No, it's not a must-win.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
If Michael Young says it, I'll have
That's not a winning
it.
Attitude.
I'd like to say, yeah, I remember, like, and the only reason, like, I jumped back to 2011, and I think we were in the first series in the playoffs. I think we played Tampa Bay. And game one of that series, we lost, like, 11-0. Like, no one remembers that now, but, like, we got smashed in, like, the first playoff game of the season, and we won 3 in a row and won that series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to, like, you want to go out and play well, but no, it's definitely not a must-win.
I need to share a story with you. Yeah. I might never get a chance to share the story again.
No, we see him quite frequently.
All right,
but
well,
okay.
Maybe next time.
No, go ahead.
So one of my best friend's dad growing up, huge Rangers fan, and he said when he passed away, he wanted his ashes spread on the field. And this was at the old stadium, and I was working in media, and he brought me a little canister of his dad's ashes. And I was like, I'm going to figure out how to do this. This is during the ALCS against Detroit. And I walked out there, and I kind of was standing around. MLB Network is on the field, TV's everywhere. I'm sure I'm in the background somewhere. And I kind of just did this, like, and dropped my phone. It was acting clumsy and everything.
You're like, one more time.
Yeah, it was just, no, I'm not going to do that again.
That was like a backhand.
It was right down the first baseline.
Good
Michael,
night, sweet prince. You, one of those moments?
You caught the pop-up. Right where I dropped those ashes.
Oh, wow.
I'm not lying about this. And so to this day, I'm like, dude, that was where it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can add that to the spirit of it all, but that was a moment.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Even though John Blake probably would have never let me back in if he knew that story. But
he definitely would not.
No, he definitely would not.
You took a risk about dropping that one publicly.
I did.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that he looked at you and was like, is that a question?
No,
that was cool. I like that.
Well, thank you very much for stopping by. Yeah. Obviously, huge opening day. They're getting ready to open the doors here for the fans in about 35 minutes.
Are they opening the roof?
I don't know.
Yeah, I will further investigate that.